Now, I want you to understand this is risky business right now. I'm looking at the clock on the wall, and I think, I've got an hour. We just concluded a whole bunch of holidays. Purim, Pesach, Yom HaAtzmaut, even to Beshvat. Also, we commemorated Yom HaShoah and celebrated Lag BaOmer. Actually, Lag BaOmer was yesterday, but we did it over the weekend. And guess what? There's more to come. Remember, we're still looking forward to Shavuot. And I'll pull a surprise one on you next week. Then in next week's Parsha, which was just read to you, suddenly we have Leviticus 25, and you get a very different kind of holiday. I'll reflect on that very briefly in a moment. However, in one significant sense, it's all, especially in the one next week, it's all based on our most important, our weekly holiday, Shabbat. Now, no commandment seems more central to Jewish life than the commandment regarding the Sabbath. And while it has universal elements and principles that apply to all nations, in its literal observance, it has obligations imposed uniquely on Israel and on any non-Jewish believers who have truly identified and connected with B'nai Yisrael, or the community of Israel. And as a result of their commitment, let me pull an old verb out on you, sojourn among them. I use that intentionally because those who were among us from the beginning were also called sojourners or foreigners or strangers among us. Shabbat, it's the defining commandment. And being assigned set aside specifically for God and His people, it is the most frequently repeated commandment in the Torah. So, just what does it say? First, in Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 to 11, we're commanded to remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. Here's a key term. Later, it's repeated in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 12 to 15. We're told to observe the Sabbath day and to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. Notice the repetition of holy. Now, there's a difference between observe and remember, but that's not the discussion for tonight. There are other discussions on that. Now, this, of course, is not all we are told about why God commanded us to remember and observe Shabbat. But it does tell us how we are to regard that time and space. It is to be holy, which most clearly indicates being set aside as special for God, who is Himself holy, as well as for His people. Accordingly, we should consider some of the reasons that it is perhaps the most difficult commandment for us to keep. And I'd like to then ultimately suggest some ways of visualizing what Shabbat might look like in order to encourage us as we move toward the ultimate Shabbat in the Messianic age. One of the favorite authors of a lot of people, myself included, Abraham Joshua Heschel, said in writing on Shabbat, "The meaning of the Sabbath is to celebrate time rather than space. 6 days a week we live under the tyranny of things of space. On the Sabbath we try to become attuned to holiness in time. It's a day on which we are called apart to share in what is eternal in time, to turn from the results of creation to the mystery of creation, from the world of creation to the creation of the world, in other words, the realm of time." So, Heschel tells us. And as Veshamru reminds us, Shabbat symbolizes the relationship between God and His people Israel. And it tells us something of His loving care and preservation of the people of Israel, and His continual forgiveness in reaching out to us. Perhaps this whole concept is best characterized in the well-known observation, "More than Israel preserved the Sabbath preserved Israel." So to summarize thus far, Shabbat is a commemoration of things that God has done. The time of creation. The time of liberation from Egypt. The time of revelation of Himself. Shabbat, secondly, points forward to the Olam Haba, the coming age, the Messianic world, as our text in Leviticus will point to. As the author of the book of Hebrews, Hebrews 4:9, reminds us, there is a time of restoration, a time of eternal Shabbat waiting for God's people. Therefore, Shabbat, thirdly, should be part of the life of the believer in Messiah throughout the week, not just on one day of the week. And this is part of the purpose of Havdalah as we conclude Shabbat. We're supposed to carry with us the sights, the smells, the sounds of Shabbat through the course of the week. Now, in helping us better integrate Shabbat into our daily lives, I want to look at seven aspects of honoring Shabbat. Now, if you think that's a lot, friends, regarding Shabbat, you expected four or five or six or eight? Seven, of course. And the one of the inserts provides you with that summary, as well as the relevant text. Seven aspects of honoring the Shabbat. The first, of course, is honoring God as Creator. Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed, the text says, and everything along with it. And by the seventh day, God completed His work. And He rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had done. And so God blessed the seventh day, made it special, set it apart as special, because in it He rested from all His work. The Creator of the universe Himself sets apart the seventh day as a special day, as a time to rest and reflect, as a time to relax and enjoy. For us too, then, it needs to be a time of resting and reflecting on the One who created all things. Rather than involve ourselves in the remaking of the world to our own liking, we reflect on the already made creation and its Creator, and we relax and enjoy what He's made. Let me suggest that this will serve to keep our lives in proper priority and purposeful perspective. Second, honoring God as Provider. Exodus 16:26, it comes from the time in the wilderness. 6 days, God says concerning the manna, you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will be none. Now, in this particular example from the Torah, the children of Israel are told not to gather manna on the Sabbath. And they're told that God Himself will ensure that they have all that they need to eat. Later, when in next week's text, the commands for the sabbatical years are given every seventh year. The Israelites are then assured by God that He will ensure that they will have all they need to prosper, even in the years that they allow the land to lie fallow. And this is very much like He did for us in the wilderness experience. Nothing wore out. Food was there, as was water, in timely fashion. Therefore, another way in which we honor God is to cease from those activities which provide us with a living. And that is demonstrating and picturing that we trust God to provide for us as we honor Him. And speaking of honoring God, part of the purpose of Shabbat is to honor God as Liberator. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 15. God says, "And you shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to observe the Sabbath day because of what He did in bringing you out." Look, we were slaves in Egypt, and God set us free. So He gave us a day on which to rest and relax and refresh ourselves in imitation of Him. Let me step out of the story for just a second. In imitation of Him. This is something that our sages understood very well. And going back to an interesting discussion from the Middle Ages, there was discussion as to why the text began here. And one of the comments that came back from one of my favorite rabbis, by the way, Nachmanides, was to remind us that as what God did in the beginning, we should imitate ourselves. I hate to throw a burden on you during Shabbat, but since I did this to the class last night, Here's the God whose character we're supposed to reflect to others. Exodus 34, 6 and 7, Moses is coming down with a second set of tablets. And then here's how God, the writer of those tablets, describes himself. As a God, overflowing in kindness, pouring out love, extending compassion overabundantly. And, if we understand the story correctly, that's what we're supposed to reflect too. And then he says, forgiving thousands throughout the generations. Anyhow, enough burden. You're not supposed to have burdens on Shabbat. Let's get back to the story. We are to refresh ourselves in imitation of him. This is to be a day of freedom, a day to release ourselves from the bondage of the week, the tyranny of the things of space, as Heschel reminded us of. The fact that we have to work and contend with the physical world is one of the marks of the burden that the world now works under. So Shabbat then becomes a sign of the world to come when that burden will be removed. And Eden itself, the garden, is restored. That's what all of creation anxiously awaits, the rabbi says in Romans 8. That time of eternal Shabbat is the time when, as the text says, the Redeemer or the Liberator will come and return all things back to normal. That's what the Shabbat or the Sabbath year and the Jubilee years picture, and what Rosh Kodesh anticipates on a monthly basis, as we remind ourselves of exactly those texts from Isaiah 59, 20, and 21. Redeemer will come and return all things back to normal. Look, we anticipate that in the first paragraph of the Amidah every time we utilize that. God will send a Redeemer to his children. We reflected on that in our Brit Chadashah portion tonight, Luke chapter 1. He has come and has redeemed his people. He is the Liberator. Next aspect of Shabbat has to do with the rest of Shabbat. I don't mean the remainder of it, I mean the rest that we're supposed to experience on Shabbat. It is called exactly that in part of the parasha tonight, like Leviticus 23 and verse 3. It's also found in the Exodus 31 text that was part of Veshamru. It's a day of rest. And so in one sense, Shabbat means rest. So this word highlights the meaning of the day and its implication, namely to, in imitation of the Creator, cease from creative works ourselves. This day was the finishing touch of God's creative activity. As such, it completes or completed the original fashioning of the creation, at least for a time. And it's a foretaste of the world to come, that ultimate Shabbat and the final finishing touch to creation. We'll reflect on that in the Elenim, when the world will be perfected under the rule of the Lord Almighty. It therefore follows that our activities should reflect and respect this most primary of notions. So, if we are to be involved with activities of any kind, they must be those things which further or contribute to the rest of Shabbat. This word, however, is not necessarily a passive word. There is activity involved, as with all of the Hebrew verbs. We remain engaged even as we rest. Then there's the peace of Shabbat. Shabbat is called the covenant between God and the Jews, Exodus 31, 16, part of Veshamru. The essence and responsibility of that covenant, if we come to understand it historically, is to create wholeness. In Hebrew, the word for wholeness is shalom. As one author put it, Shabbat is about making peace with everyone, with ourselves, with business associates, with strangers, and especially within families, whether our personal ones, our congregational ones, our community ones. The highest priority is given to reconciliation and loving kindness. End quote. As the quote indicates, the primary goal of Shabbat is to create and maintain the shalom of the day. And what is the traditional greeting for Shabbat? No, not good Shabbos, but Shabbat shalom. And if I offended anyone, speak to me afterwards, I'll offend you further. And there are even songs commemorating this ideal. As such, anything we do on this day should be toward that end. Therefore, there should be no activities which would serve to put us into situations which are likely to disrupt the atmosphere of peace surrounding the Sabbath. And, in fact, they should contribute to the wholeness of our lives and of our relationships. Isaiah 58, verses 13 and 14, describes the joy of Shabbat. We know the term. Technically, it's Oneg Shabbat, joy of Shabbat. Yeah, I know, in our day and age, part of the joy is to eat. But it's been like that for us down through the ages. What can I say? Isaiah 58 says it this way. If because of the Sabbath you turn your foot from doing your own pleasure on my holy day, and you call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and you shall honor it, desisting from your own ways, from seeking your own pleasure and speaking your own word. Then you will take delight in the Lord. And I love this. I will make you ride on the heights of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Delight in the Lord, make you to ride on the heights of the earth. Above all things, Shabbat is to be a sign of the age to come. And you see it somewhat reflected in the text for next week, the parsha for next week, about counting off, as the text says, seven Sabbaths of years. Seven, you see, Sabbath is essential there. And it says, sound the shofar, proclaim liberty throughout the land to all its inhabitants. Each one of you is to return to his family property and each to his own clan. It's a time of complete restoration. It is a jubilee, and it shall be holy for you. There's that continuing term, holy. Proclaim liberty throughout the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. Interesting text. I didn't read that from Leviticus 25. I technically just read that from the Liberty Bell in Philadelphia, which is where it also appears. And these words, in fact, then have resounded as a message of hope for the oppressed throughout the world. By the way, the Exodus from Egypt is not so much then about the rejection of slavery as a moral outrage, although that it is. But it's rather about God's exclusive ownership of the people of Israel. This chapter, chapter 25, towards its conclusion, emphasizes that point. Towards its conclusion, it's the last verse. I guess it is a conclusion. God says, for it is to me that the Israelites are servants. They are my servants, whom I freed from the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. We reflected on this in the class last night, because we talked about the tefillin and how it reminds us that we've been set free from one slavery to enter into another slavery or servanthood. God's saying that here. Furthermore, Psalm 24, the opening verse, reminds us that this includes everyone. The earth is the Lord and everything in it. The world is His and everyone who inhabits it. So in one sense, all are and should be free, but free to serve. Now, according to tradition, when God promised the age to come, the coming world, the Messianic age, to the children of Israel, they asked Him to show them the age to come. And the tradition says He gave to them Shabbat, the foretaste of the age to come. Now, if that's true, then this should be, as the Isaiah text indicates, the day of great delight. Everything done on this day should be toward producing a day where joy is the dominant mood. And then we've got the holiness of Shabbat. Last week's portion said, be holy as I, the Lord your God, am holy. Our portion tonight, the part that was read in English, reminded us, keep my commands and follow them. I am the Lord. Do not profane my holy name. I must be acknowledged as holy by the Israelites. I am the Lord who makes you holy. At which point we should stop and ask the text, how? Well, he continues. Next verse, which is also the next chapter. The Lord said to Moses, speak to the Israelites and say to them, These are my appointed festivals, gatherings, which you are to proclaim as sacred assemblies or gatherings. Sacred is the term, holy. And then he says, this is for the holidays, and then concerning Shabbat, once again he reminds us, there are 6 days when you may work, but the seventh day is a Shabbat of rest. It, too, is a day of holy or sacred assembly. And so the very next verse goes on to talk about the sacred assemblies or gatherings at their appointed times. Okay. Times of meeting with God. And according to the text, the result is that through these things, God makes us holy. Remember the introductory verse? I am the Lord who makes you holy. And then he tells us how that takes place. And the consequences of that holiness should then be the way in which we live and reflect him to those around us. We were given that responsibility in Exodus chapter 19 when we accepted his words. All that the Lord has said, we shall do. He said, you shall be to me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. So what is holiness about? Holiness is not about all this stuff that I avoid, including you. Holiness, properly understood, Deuteronomy 4, verses 5 to 8, is all the stuff that I get to do that others look at and say, I want in on that. Yes, Jenny. It's the wow passage. The nations look at you and they'd say, wow, what a wise and understanding people who has wonderful laws such as these and a God so near as to answer prayer. So what does the text mean, then, the second part, to be acknowledged, that the Lord is to be acknowledged holy by Israel? That's an important consideration. The Torah cautions us that we are not to profane God's holy name. The sages of the Talmud explain that profaning the divine name occurs, for example, when a reasonably intelligent Jew is lax in his or her business ethics or does not speak kindly to people at large. Another one of the great medieval rabbis, Maimonides, then expands it this way. And, I'm quoting him, and similarly, if a sage is careful about his actions, always speaking kindly to every human being, accepting everyone cheerfully, and taking precise care concerning his business ethics, to the point that everyone praises him and strives to emulate his comportment, then that individual is sanctifying God's name. End quote. In other words, is adding to the reputation of God in a positive way. Rashi, a century earlier, has another interpretation. And this is the primary interpretation according to our sages. And that goes like this. What is the meaning of the verse, I shall be sanctified? Commit your lives and sanctify my name. Here's his response. When an individual commits himself, he must become committed even to the point of death. End quote. Maimonides then further interprets it and says, and the matter of this commandment to sanctify God's name is to publicize or demonstrate this true faith in the world and that we not be afraid of any harm or damage. When Nebuchadnezzar the wicked commanded obeisance to an idol and the multitudes of Israel bowed down to it, there was no one to sanctify God's name because they were afraid. End quote. Look, in effect, Maimonides is saying the Jews at that time were afraid to risk their lives by refusing to worship idols. Except for three. You remember the story in Daniel. A deeper insight into these words of Rashi and Maimonides become evident when we reflect on another biblical paradox. In last week's parsha, we were taught that you shall, Leviticus 18:5, you shall observe my statutes and my commandments, which a human being shall perform, and you shall live by them. Now, our sages of old deduced the following from this. You shall live by them and not die by them. In general, human life takes precedence over the commands of the Torah. So, with the exception of the most stringent commandments, dealing with murder, gross sexual immorality, and idolatry, if a Jew is forced by a Gentile either to transgress a commandment or die, he must choose to transgress the commandment. But then, isn't it strange that you shall live by them, Leviticus 18:5, comes as an introduction to the very laws for which you must die rather than transgress? The answer, as many suggest, is deeply significant. For Judaism, a life lived for no higher purpose than to keep on living is of little value. I'll say that again. A life lived for no higher purpose than to keep on living is of little value. Therefore, the Torah is here teaching that we must live against a backdrop of values which are more significant than any individual life. Let me quote from another of my favorite rabbis, Shlomo Riskin. Paradoxically, only a person who has values for which he would sacrifice his future merits a future. Such an individual may lose his life, but he gains eternity, end quote. Sound familiar? It's exactly what Yeshua talked about, Matthew chapter 16. And that, let me suggest, is the key to life, and the meaning both of do this and you shall live, as well as be holy as I, the Lord your God, am holy. And it is the key to what we're talking about here in the holiness of Shabbat and how we sanctify the Lord or elevate his reputation in the world. It's a reminder of just this perspective, that there are higher values by which we are to live. There are values that we should be willing to sacrifice our lives for. One Sunday morning, the pastor noticed little Alex standing in the foyer of the church, staring up at a large plaque. It was covered with names and small American flags mounted on either side of it. The 6-year-old had been standing at the plaque for some time now. So the pastor walked up and stood beside the little boy and said quietly, "Good morning, Alex." "Good morning, Pastor," he replied, still focused on that plaque. "Pastor, what is this?" The pastor said, "Well, son, it's a memorial to all the young men and women who died in the service." Soberly, they just stood there together, staring at the large plaque. Finally, little Alex's voice, barely audible and trembling with fear, haltingly asked, "Which service? 9 a.m., 10:30 a.m., or noon?" Some of you got there before I did. But yes, there are values by which we are to live. Higher values than the ordinary ones which permeate society and which are often reflected in the other 6 days of the week. So Shabbat gives us a time to reflect on this and to recapture, in fact, to renew these very important values. And so we can truly, in this way, sanctify God's name and demonstrate his relevance and experience his holiness, the specialness of Shabbat, the day God gave us to remember that he is creator, that he is provider, that he is liberator, a day that's for rest, a day that's for wholeness and peace, a day that's for joy and life, a day which pictures and anticipates a Shabbat for the ages, the age to come. Shabbat Shalom. Take the next minute or so for a time of reflection. An initial response.